1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul the Apostle says here, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown," like the Olympians, like people who run in a race. He said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body." We would say it, "I keep my body under subjection." Paul says, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Dear Father, what a joy to be a part of this service, to enjoy the congregational singing, the opportunity to give and to hear that wonderful singing. Thank you, God, for this privilege. I pray now that you'll take this unworthy vessel, this weak, frail, base, despised thing of naught, and God, do through me what I cannot do. May the Holy Spirit of God speak to hearts. I pray even now that individuals sitting here today that perhaps came maybe even with a wrong motive, maybe really weren't interested, but they're here. Would you help them, Lord, to hear what is said and receive it and do something with it? I beg and plead in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would be honored and glorified. In His name I pray. Amen. Now, I really can't get peace about what to call this. I was going to call it a fighting spirit. I preach a message here, and I'll use some of it this morning, some of the thoughts from it, on being strong in spirit. I thought about just calling it plain old willpower. People don't have much willpower anymore. So there's a lot of things I could call it. Some of you right now, are you probably examining your mind and heart, even as I speak? Well, he's probably right. I don't have much willpower. I told you recently, I think Wednesday night, it might have been last week, but I told you that I listened to a series of sermons on praise for 6 months when I was in Texas, and how important repetition is. And there's going to be some repetition over the next few weeks. I believe the Lord's given me some direction now that we've finished 2 Peter to reiterate some simple truths that hopefully will help us to go forward in 2021 and be faithful to God. And certainly the topic I'm going to cover today, I preach on it quite often. And again, we'll decide what to call it later, but it's about a resolved spirit, a fighting spirit. It's about being determined, and it's about being strong in spirit. Paul the Apostle, here in verse 24, he says, "So run." It's not like we use that word. So he's saying, run like they run. Have you seen these guys that, I mean, they give it 110% when they cross the finish line? There's nothing left. Paul's saying that's the way you're supposed to run. You're supposed to be disciplined. You're supposed to be focused on the goal. There's a finish line out there, and you don't stop. You don't quit. You don't let up. You got to get across the finish line. That's the way you're supposed to run. You can't be haphazard about the Christian life. You can't just be ho-hum about it. You can't do good one day and give up on the next day. You got to hang in there and all those things. And then he says in verse 26, and this is what I would underline. It's underlined in my Bible. "So fight I." The Christian life is a fight. And a lot of people have quit fighting. And I don't know what it is that God's going to speak to your heart about today, but I'm going to tell you this, you're going to have to get some fight. You're going to have to get some grit. You're going to have to muster up something inside of you that maybe you thought was gone, and it's not gone. And Paul said, "I fight not as one that beateth the air." I'm not just throwing punches into the air. I've got a target to hit. I've got something to aim for. I've got a goal. I've got something I've got to accomplish. I've got to be determined. I want to cross the finish line, in other words. And sure enough, he did, didn't he? Paul said, "I have fought a good fight." At the end of his life, "I have fought a good fight. I have, listen, finished my course." You don't want to just start strong, you want to finish strong. You want to be in there until the very end. And so, would you agree with me, if you know any Bible at all, that Paul was a fighter? Paul was a fighter. Now, he didn't fight with boxing gloves. He didn't fight physically. He had something on the inside. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about some fight on the inside. We're talking about willpower. We're talking about being strong in spirit, if you will. The Bible says over there, I just give you this right off the bat here in the book of Daniel, that Daniel was purposed in his heart. Are you purposed? You know, I cannot believe that I never really thought a whole lot about the context, because I've preached so much about Daniel being purposed in his heart. I never really thought a lot about the context. What was the context? Eating. He said, I'm not going to eat the king's meat. Now, it was going to be for 10 days, but the plan for the king, if you read Daniel 1, was he was going to feed them his meat for 3 years. You reckon you could stay on a strict diet for 3 years? Let me back up. 3 minutes? I mean, can you imagine what it was like while everybody else is eating the food that the king, he's supplying the food. He is providing them the king's meat, if you will. Hey, Daniel, look, steak. No, thank you. I'll eat my peas. Next day, Daniel, loaded baked potato. No, thank you. I'll have my peas. Daniel, bluebell ice cream. No, thank you. Daniel, cheese pizza with pepperoni. Some of you are ready to leave right now. I'm saying to you, Daniel was purposed. Some of you are paying people a lot of money when you could just be purposed. This is going over like a lead balloon. It takes willpower to say no. I don't need that fourth piece of pie. I don't need a second plate full. That takes willpower. It takes something on the inside. You got to be able to say, no, I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm telling you, for 10 days, Daniel said no. Why? Because he was purposed in his heart. He had some fight on the inside. He had some inner resolve. I've preached numerous times in different places from the Gospel of Luke, where the Bible says in chapter 1 that John the Baptist was strong in spirit. And it says in chapter 2 that Jesus was strong in spirit. Now, really what it says is that they waxed strong in spirit. You know what that means when it says waxed? They got stronger and stronger in their spirit. Not weaker. We start out strong. And after 24 hours, we're ready to quit. We get in the altar and get right with God, and we're ready to take on the world. And the next day, the least little hiccup, and we're ready to quit. We're going to have to be like John the Baptist and Jesus, who were strong in spirit. It's not talking about muscles. It's not talking about weightlifting. It's not talking about physical strength, but resolve and courage and willpower. I looked up the phrase willpower in a couple of dictionaries. It just said restraining impulses. Restraining your impulses. Can you do that? Now, some of you are going, no, I can't. Yes, you can. You can be strong in spirit. You can say with Paul, I'm going to fight. So when it says strong in spirit, I'm not even talking about being spirited at church. It got a little spirited in here a little while ago. I like that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like the cheerleading squad that wins the spirit stick. Okay? That's loud and boisterous and emotional and they're excited and they're animated and they're loud and they're responsive, and it's a church that's always saying amen and throwing their hands in the air, and some of them run the bases, and man, it's an exciting place. That's not what I'm talking about. Though that would be good for some of you. Some of you, it would be good for you to just raise your finger and say, praise the Lord. Some of you, that would be a stretch. That's some of you who are looking at me mean right now. That's right. You need to get out of your comfort zone. It would be good for you to stand up, raise your hands and say, glory be to God, thank you for saving my soul. It would be good for some of you to give a testimony. It would be good for some of you to walk down here and get in an altar and weep and cry until you got right with God. It would be good for some of you to pass out a tract. It would be good for you to stand on a street corner. You could be spirited like that, but that's not even what I'm talking about. That's not the kind of strong in spirit that I'm preaching on today. And let me say this, I'm not talking about being stubborn and obnoxious and mean-spirited either. I know some independent Baptists, the reason they're strong in spirit is because they're mean-spirited. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the old-timers who got married and stayed married for 60 years and didn't quit. You say, you don't know my wife. You don't know mine. She ain't perfect. And she married somebody less perfect. Amen. You don't know my husband. I know my mother's husband. And she never left him. You know what your problem is? You ain't got no fight in you. See, I'm talking about strong in spirit, where people used to get up every day at 5:30 and go to work and work every day till 3:30 or 4. And guess what? When they went home, then they worked again. And had a little farm on the side and took care of their house and took care of the things around the house. And they just stayed with the same job for 30 and 40 and 50 years. And now some of you are 20 and have had 17 jobs. You're a quitter. Stay with something. There's a young man in this church, I've challenged him for 1 year. Just go to work every single day for a year and then come see me. Just a bunch of quitters. When I'm talking about strong in spirit, I'm talking about a J.W. Craddock, my wife's daddy, who's now in heaven, who's 5'9", 150 pounds, and got up every day for 40 plus years and went to work. He didn't go to church and raise his hands and run the aisles and shout. He wasn't an animated man. He's one of the quietest men I ever knew. But he was strong in spirit. Went to work when he didn't feel like it. Went to work when he was running a fever. Went to work when his back was hurting. Went to work after he buried his 11-month-old. Got up and went to work. Why? Because it was the right thing to do. Some of you got a hangnail and call in sick. Honestly. We've got to be strong in spirit if we're going to survive this world we're living in. We've got to be strong in spirit if we're going to keep our marriages. We've got to be strong in spirit if we're going to keep our jobs. We've got to be strong in spirit if we're going to be good church members. I ain't going tonight. I'm tired. Oh, bless your heart. I don't ever come tired. I'm always full of energy. I'm talking about people during unbelievably hard times, sickness, death, war even, just got up and did right. Strong in spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. You're in 1 Corinthians, so just go to chapter 16. I'm trying to help you. Well, I'll just go ahead and have a good time while we're doing this. You know what you need. You need what I need. You need to be strong in spirit. I don't know how many times my wife said, why don't you get somebody else to preach? Come in here with an ankle so swollen that I can't stand it. And sometimes so weary, I just want to lay in the bed till 6 o'clock. That'd be an extra hour. I don't feel like going to church every time I go. But I know one thing, it's something I can do. I'm not like these guys. I'm not talented. I can't sing, can't play an instrument, can't draw. I have no out. I can scream and yell. You know what I can do in the morning? I can get out of the bed. I can come down here and study. I can go visit. I can knock on doors. I can preach funerals. I can stand up here and preach to you. It's something I can do. And you can go to church. Some of you, bless your heart. Some of you couples, you've been married 2, 3, 4 years. You got one little old bitty baby, and every time it looks a little bit puny, it takes both of you to stay home and take care of it. You know why? You ain't got no fight. You're weak! It's an American weakness. America's been pandered to for so long that we whine at the least little problem in life. We're weak. Most of us are weak. We need to admit it and say, I want to be strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Here's what Paul the Apostle said. And there's a reason I chose this verse. Watch ye, verse 13, stand fast in the faith. Quit you, that means behave you like men. And then what does it say?
Be strong.
Paul says that as if it's just a matter of choice. Isn't it? And that's what it sounds. He said, be strong. Be strong. He's not talking about muscles. He just says be strong as if it's a choice. Be resolved. Be courageous. Be strong in spirit. Get you some willpower. Just decide to do it. I think about David going out to fight Goliath with his brothers calling him a sissy, more or less. What are you doing here? Well, ain't you home babysitting them sheep? You're just a runt. Go home. I bet it would have been tempting the closer he got to that giant and the taller. What? I didn't know he was that tall. He was resolved. Who is this giant that's going to defy the armies of the living God? Not as long as I'm alive. And if David had got killed, he'd have been more man than I am. You may fall when you fight, but you can get up and fight again. You may stumble, you may mess up, but don't quit. So, fight I, Paul said. I think about the difference between David and Jonah. Jonah's more like us. Excited one day and totally depressed the next day because a gourd was killed by a worm. Right? So much so that he says, I just wish I could die. Right? Kill me. Why? Because he's sitting under the shade of that gourd. And God sends a worm his way. My life ain't worth living. Amazing. That's us. We get depressed so easily. We pull into our favorite restaurant and they're closed. We're ready to kill ourselves. Life's ending. Nothing's good anymore. The Bible speaks of a sorrowful spirit, an overwhelmed spirit, a haughty spirit, a wounded spirit, a heavy spirit. The Bible talks about a spirit of bondage, a spirit of slumber, a bitter spirit, a troubled spirit. What kind of spirit do you have today? I want to help you. I really, really would love to help you. I'd like to challenge you. I'd like to encourage you that you can be strong in spirit. You feel like you've tried it 1,000 times and you've failed? Well, you've quit. Quit quitting. Amen. Don't be like the Laodicean spirit. Lethargy and passive. Wishy-washy. Easily swayed. You're resolved and one little hiccup and you're derailed. It doesn't have to be that way, saints. You can get up tomorrow and do right. And you can get up the next day and do right. You can get up the next day and do right. Paul says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That word power is talking about your spirit being a strong spirit. Listen, if you've got a strong spirit, you can overcome the other spirits. It's a spirit that can overcome the temptations from others. It's a spirit that can overcome the temptations of life. It's a spirit that can overcome some of the battles that you're going to face. Strong in spirit is able to overcome other spirits. And listen, it's able to set a goal and accomplish the goal and not quit until it's accomplished. Paul says, be strong as if it's up to you. Can I be honest with you? From my house to here, I'm listening to 5 minutes of radio. That's all I can handle. And I'm hearing now these life coaches. You need a life coach? You got a King James Bible. You got the Holy Spirit living inside of you.
Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You got a church of 300 people surrounding you. You got a pastor that loves you. You got other staff that'll do anything they can for you. You got everybody here that would probably, honestly, would go a second mile for, and you need a life coach? What you need to do is find out what's right and do it. Just find out what's right and do it. If you really, really want a life coach, I'll take the title and you can pay me. Now, I'm sorry if that... Maybe somebody here's got a life coach. I don't know. But what a sad day we're living in. Would you look at 2 Samuel for just a moment? Now, if I'm preaching to anybody, I'm preaching to the men. Men, would we admit, honestly, would we admit that the spirit of this world is a challenge to us and that sometimes we'll let it pull us down and make us sort of have a lazy spirit? The Bible says here in 2 Samuel chapter 10 verse 12, Joab talking to his army, 2 Samuel chapter 10 verse 12, be of good courage. I love those words. Do you even know what courage is? Sometimes people misunderstand the word courage just like they misunderstand the word discourage. It says here, be of good courage and let us, here's what Joab says, let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. Watch this. And the Lord do that which seemeth Him good. If I wanted to preach a spiritual application to this, a devotional application is this. If you'll get in the fight, God will give you strength you didn't know you had. If you'll do your part, God will do His. If you'll get involved, get engaged, get serious, get you some willpower, get you some tenacity, get you some old-fashioned fight. And I'm telling you, when you get up to do right and God sees that you're serious, God will help you. God will help you get to the finish line. God will help you do right. Turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. That's left in your Bible. Joshua chapter 1. Hang in there with me. Don't quit on me this morning. It'd be a bad sermon to quit on. You see, I think every man in this church, honestly, I think every man in this church, I'll be thinking, boy, Brother Ron is right, we need this. We have allowed talk radio and sports to make us a bunch of spectators. And we've got a lazy spirit. It's not that we're lazy, we'll go out and cut 3 or 4 rick of wood. We'll go to work a 12-hour shift. We'll do those things. But when it comes to doing, when it comes to moral strength, when it comes to character, when it comes to every day doing the right thing with your children, when it comes to those kind of things, we've gotten a lazy spirit. We'd think if we bring the check home and provide for the bacon, we've done our job. No, that's the least you can do. That's the very least you can do. That doesn't make you a good man. Plenty of unsaved people do that. Amen. Here in Joshua chapter 1, it's in verse 6 that he tells Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. There it is again, Joshua 1:6. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Look at verse 9. We'll get a repeat. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Look at it. Be strong. Be strong. That's what verse 6 said. Be strong. It's not talking about muscles. It's not talking about the military. It's not talking about swords and shields. It's not talking about being able to whip somebody. It's talking about that inner fight, that inner resolve. And he says to Joshua, be strong. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be of good courage. Be strong. We're living in a day of whiners. We're living in a day of whiners. Every year at youth camp, I make a list of rules. I say to my wife, anything you want me to put on the list? She said, yes. No whining. My wife tells me that every year. She said, just put on there, no whining. She, I'm telling you, some people come to youth camp to feign sickness. And my wife can't stand it. Sometimes, like I say, my wife, you're cruel. Yeah, they ain't sick. Ain't nothing wrong with them. I love it. No whining. No pouting. My daddy used to say, I'll give you something to cry about, boy. Anybody ever heard that?
Sometimes kids just cry because they can get what they want. That's how most people have gotten what they want in this country. They cry loud enough and whine loud enough and pout loud enough. Amen. And complain long enough. A nation full of quitters. No resolve. No stick-to-itiveness. No tenacity. No fight. No grit. No determination. No resolve. When it comes to dieting, it's the best example I know of. Brother Ron, you don't understand. I like to eat. Not me. I've never enjoyed it. What a thing to say. Amen. I could talk about your diet. I could talk about marriage. I could talk about child training. I could talk about your finances. I could talk about working a job. I could talk about the fact that it's taken you 8 years to get through 4 years of college. I could talk about your church membership. I could talk about why you don't come on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I can talk to you about 1,000 other topics and tell you your problem is you've quit fighting. You've given in to your flesh. You've given in to your lazy spirit. You've started trying to justify things that you shouldn't be justifying. You need to get your fight back. Need to get strong in spirit. Listen, today more than any time in the 30 years of this church, I'm seeing missionaries leave the field inexcusably. I'm seeing pastors do some of the dumbest, stupidest stuff and then justify it because they're giving in to the pressure. And I'm seeing teenagers who go to youth camp and get resolved to do right only to quit 2 weeks later. And I see men that think because they get up and go to work that they can go home and watch YouTube and stay on their phone for 6 hours. You need to get you some fight.
Amen.
And learn how to say one of the most difficult words evidently in the English language. No! I'm not going to turn that on. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to wear that. The answer is no, and then stick with it. Get you some old-fashioned fight and obey the command of the Word of God to be strong in spirit. You remember how the children of Israel died in the wilderness, right? Why? Weren't willing to fight. They just weren't willing to fight. They saw them giants and said, we just look like grasshoppers. We're too little. We're too small. Now listen, they got out of Egypt. There's only one way to get out of Egypt. Only one. The blood of the Lamb. Boy, I thank God I got out of Egypt. Amen. How? By the blood of the Lamb. But then they wandered around in the wilderness, defeated, murmuring, complaining, whining, and patting for 40 years. Because there's only one way out of the wilderness. You gotta fight. Or you can just spend the rest of your spiritual days in the wilderness and never enjoy the victory. Listen, I am no novice. I've been here 30 years preaching for 42. Some of you have got some vices in your life and you want the victory so bad, but you've quit fighting. And you said, Brother Ron, just ain't gonna happen. I've tried and tried and tried. Then try again.
Amen.
And before you leave here to this day, get in this altar and say, God, today, not tomorrow, today, I'm gonna start enjoying victory. I'm not gonna give in to it. Whatever it is, I don't know what your problem is. Your problem may be alcohol. Your problem may be tobacco. Your problem may be pornography. Your problem may be, I don't know, you fill in the blank. But don't let the devil destroy you and make you die in the wilderness. Make up your mind you're going to do right from now on. And you know what's funny to me? I can look at some of you men and tell you this, and you want to just sort of stick your chest out and bristle up on me, and yet you want your kids to do what you tell them to do, and you say, why can't you just do right? Why can't you just do right?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's a matter of choice. That's really what it boils down to. It is a matter of choice. But what we want to do is go with the flow instead of swim against the current. We want to lean towards Egypt where we were comfortable rather than walk with God. And you and I are living in a world that is moment by moment, second by second, luring us with materialism and physical and carnal stuff. And it's a constant barrage on our mind, and it's so easy just to give in to it because we get tired of fighting. Now, is that the truth? It's just easier to give in to it. The food, the fads, the technology, the music, it's just easier to give in to it. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've told you this, I'm not really talking about church services. I'm not talking about how you act here. I'm talking about Monday through Saturday. But you could start here. I've told you before, I used to play a good bit of tennis with Randy Grant. Randy Grant, he had all the technique. He knew how to play tennis. And it was fun to watch somebody that knew how to serve and how to put top spin on the ball and how to hit a backhand. And all I was just trying to keep it in play. I'm just, and he's slamming it down my throat. You know, I'm just trying to keep it. I'm just a defensive player. That's the way I was in ping pong. I just tried to keep it on the table. And every now and then, Randy Grant would hit one of them little old lobs that just was right there so pretty. And I'd come across and hit it past him before he knew what happened, about one in a million. And he went, "Whoa, where'd that come from?" He wasn't expecting that. Some of you tonight, right in the middle of a sermon, need to return one. Amen. And just throw up your hand and say, "Amen!" And the devil's going to go, "Whoa, where'd that come from?" Yeah. I ain't never seen that from him before. He's usually asleep at this point in the sermon. I think I'm going to make eye contact with a few people right now. Hey, I'll tell you one thing. Raising your hand, saying amen, praise the Lord, glory to God, it helps you stay awake. It helps you stay awake. Amen. Get a little bit on the offensive. Quit being such a defensive player. Don't just stop enduring and start enjoying. And I'm telling you, I'm not talking about here, but this is a pretty good place to start. To make up your mind, you do still have some fight in you. Get up when there's an opportunity. Teenage boys, get up and give a testimony. Man, I say, too many testimonies. Everybody won't give a testimony. It's so rare for a teenage boy to stand up here and give a testimony. Let the devil know whose side you're on. Amen. Vince Lombardi, great football coach. Most of you know the name. He said the quality of a man's life is in direct proportion to his commitment to excellence, regardless of his chosen field or endeavor. I firmly believe, he said, that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. That's a good way to put it. Somebody said the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. I'll never forget watching Larry Holmes fight Tex Cobb. How many of you saw that? How many of you remember that? Bless it, they should have put Holmes in prison for the rest of his life. It was a massacre. It was pitiful. And Tex Cobb said before the fight, he said, by the way, this is the fight that called Howard Cosell, it caused Howard Cosell to quit. He said, "I'll never again announce a boxing match." And Tex Cobb said, "I ain't quitting. I'm going to go the distance." And he did. And they asked Larry Holmes about it later. Here's what Holmes said. He said the amazing thing was not that he endured 15 rounds, but that he kept fighting like he had a chance to win. I like that. Some of you have laid down and you think that that vice, that problem, that sin, that weight, that thing in your life has a grip on you and you can't get loose and you can't quit to get victory. Yes, you can. You can get the victory over it. God says you can. You just got to get your fight back. I'm talking about the kind of spirit that's required just to be a good father. Just a good mama. Just a good husband. Just a good missionary. Just a good employee. Just get up and go to work. Tell your boss, you may not get 100% out of me today, but I'm going to do the best I can. I don't feel good. Instead of laying home whining, making your wife feel bad too. You know what's wrong with some of you homeschooling moms? You got a lazy spirit. I know you don't feel good a lot of days. But you're the one that chose to educate your kids, then do it. You ain't got time to run the roads all day long. You haven't got time to answer every phone call. Well, it's quiet in here. I'm for you. I'm on your side. I'm with you. I think it's what you ought to do. But do it. Don't just say you're doing it. Do it. Amen. It takes work. Sure, you get up some days and you're tired and weary. Sure, you get up some days and you don't feel like it. But you feel like going to the help center. I know what I'm talking about. You going to homeschool? Homeschool. You going to go to college? Go to college. Going to go to work? Go to work. Amen. Do it. It's what's required to be a good student. It's what's required to be a good church member. It's what's required to be a good employer. It's what's required to run a good business. You've got to have some of this fight. Why are there so many divorces in our world? Why are there so many unemployed? Why are so many in debt? Why are so many overweight? Why are so many depressed? Why are so many unfaithful to their church? No willpower. No fight. No tenacity. Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Let me show you a passage in Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Cheer up. It gets worse. You know what? I'm serious. I'm gonna be. You ought to enjoy this kind of preaching. Last thing you need, last thing I need in this Laodicean world is somebody tell me I'm doing great when I know I'm not. In Isaiah 42, this is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon Him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall, look at this, it's talking about Jesus. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause His voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall He not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Here it is. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. That is powerful. Now He was a man. Brother Lee talked about it in Sunday school. He was a man. Sure He was God, but He was a man. He got tired. He got weary. He got thirsty. He got hungry. But He had a job to do. So much was His job so serious, He just went 40 days without eating one time. Because He had a job He had to perform. And that's what was required of Him. The Bible says, you have not yet resisted unto blood. He did. He resisted, how far? Unto blood. Until they drove the nails in His hands and in His feet and let that cross drop into that hole with a thud. Jesus resisted the temptations. He resisted. Listen, don't you know, did He not pray in that garden, Father, if there be any other way? That's the manhood. If there be any other way, let me have another way. Nevertheless, not my will, He prayed. Thy will be done. Is that our heart? He will not be discouraged. It means disheartened, dispirited. It means He is not going to quit. He's strong in spirit, and He didn't quit until He said, it is finished. Aren't you thankful? Men, may God help us to model our spirit after His. The Bible says over there in Isaiah 53, He was afflicted, He was oppressed. And it goes through all the stuff they did to Him, and then it said this, yet openeth He not His mouth. He didn't whine. And sometimes somebody just looks at us crossways and we want to go home and tell our wife about it. You ain't going to believe what I had to put up with today. Aren't we pitiful? So we go home with a bad spirit and give a bad spirit to our wife and kids and dog. Amen. Man, I think of people in the Bible as I look through the Bible. Jesus Christ was not discouraged. He was strong in spirit. He didn't whine. He didn't complain. He was willing to take the blame when he was innocent. And then I look at Haman. And Mordecai, I will not bow to him. What's he do? He goes home and tells his wife. He ain't going to believe Haman. Walk right by him, then he wouldn't even bow. Worse, Ahab. Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. I made him a good offer. Somebody else come by and made him a better offer. Hey, church members. Hey, businessman. You better be careful about your attitude. And go home and poison our wife and kids with all of our frustration. You know why? We want somebody to sympathize with us. Life's rough. You know that's a temptation we fight. If you don't fight it, please let me know how. I'm telling you, in this world, we are prone to have a whining, complaining, woe is me spirit when we've got it so good. I've shown you this verse many times. Turn to Jeremiah 51. I love this verse. Jeremiah 51. Verse 30. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They've quit fighting. Look at it. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. Isn't that interesting? You know what we need in America today? We need a masculinity movement. That's what we need. We need a masculine. And I'm not talking about hair on your chest. I'm not talking about you having a Confederate flag and a pickup truck and a shotgun in the windshield. I'm not talking about wearing cowboy boots. Amen. I'm talking about something on the inside. I'm talking about old-fashioned grit. Tenacity. Inside fight. Inside gumption. A preacher I heard preach in the 80s called it, for preachers, the holy umph. He preached a whole sermon on the word U-M-P-H. And he said, the problem with most of you is you have no umph. I don't know what that means, but I know exactly what he's saying. Some of you girls, 18 and 19 years old, you act like it's some kind. You are in the great tribulation because you're supposed to be out of bed by noon. What is your problem? Get you some fight. I mean, do you really, really want everybody to have to take care of you the rest of your life? You'll make a good American. Do you even want a husband? You're going to have to find one outside of this church, because I'm training these boys to be men and that their wife will get up and cook them breakfast. Amen. Now, the first thing you've got to do if you're going to cook breakfast is get up. It's pretty deep, isn't it? At the crack of noon. I don't understand people. I really don't. Just laying around letting life go by. No fight. You got a lazy spirit. Paul told Timothy, And you don't have to turn there. 2 Timothy 2. He said, be strong. And he said, Timothy, what I need you to do is take what I've poured into you and you pour it into others that'll pour it into others. Timothy, I need you to take what I've given you and you give it to others who will give it to others. But Timothy, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to endure some hardness. You're going to have to put away some childish things. You're going to have to keep your body under subjection. You're going to have to be misunderstood. You're going to have to avoid the affairs of this life. Timothy, if you're going to do what I'm asking you to do, you're going to have some willpower. And you're going to have to be strong in spirit. And you're going to have to be able to say no to YouTube. Timothy, it ain't going to work if you're going to watch YouTube 2 and 3 hours a night. Amen. You see, in this world that we're living in, with a constant influence of the media, and the music, and the movies, and the materialism, we're going to have to make up our minds we're going to be strong. That's all there is to it. That's why Job said, be of good courage, and let us play the men. Listen, for our people. I was going to take you to 1 Kings chapter 2. I'm going to skip that. That's where David, on his dying bed, said to his son, I want you to be strong, Solomon, and I want you to be a man. And then he told him what to do. I might or might not bring that up tonight. If you'll look that up in your Bible, you'll find out what it takes to be a man in 1 Kings chapter 2. George Washington said, perseverance and spirit have done wonders in all ages. Colonel Henry Knox said, we want great men. I love this. We want great men who, when fortune frowns, will not be discouraged. Which means a lack of spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit. They couldn't resist Stephen's spirit. What kind of spirit do you have today? I'm going to close by asking you to turn to the book of Numbers for just a moment. The book of Numbers. Chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Then we'll go to Numbers 13 and I'll wrap this up. I don't know how to light a fire under people because what works for me doesn't work for everybody else. I mean, I liked it when a coach got in my face and almost dared me to try harder. and most of those coaches always felt like that there was still a little bit more you could give. Can I ask you, saints? Could you do better? Have you quit fighting? Is your default now to get through supper and then turn something on for the rest of the night? Can't remember the last time you read a book. Can't remember the last time you had somebody over your house from the church. Can't remember the last time you and your wife held hands and prayed together. You used to, didn't you? You quit fighting. This world is just trying to swallow us up. Keep us so preoccupied we can't do what we know we're supposed to do. We don't do what we know is right. You know how simple this message is? Tomorrow when you get up, say, now what is the right thing for me to do right now? Answer the question and then do it. Well, it's deep, isn't it? Should I clean out that truck? Then do it. Should I make a meal and take it over there? Then do it. Should I take my wife out on a date and get somebody to watch the kids and cater to her? Then do it. Should I read my Bible? Then do it. Should I pray before I leave the house? Then do it. Should I get out of the bed? Probably. If you can look out the window and see daylight, you probably should be up. If it's still dark, you can think about it. You know what's right, just do it. That's really how simple this message is. Make up your mind, you're going to do it. In Numbers chapter 14, you know this story very well, verse 20. Numbers chapter 14, verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the Lamb which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. All those other men, hand him giants in the land, and we're too weak and we're too small. We can't do it. Caleb had a different spirit. Back up to chapter 13. Chapter 13. When I read about the colonial days of America, when I read about the Revolutionary War, when I read about the men who made it possible for us to have the liberty and the freedom that we've got today, they still talk about that spirit of 76, whatever that was. In 1776, that fighting spirit, that daring spirit, that relentless spirit, that resolved spirit, that determined spirit, that selfless spirit, they were strong in spirit. When you think about the stories you've heard about Washington crossing the Delaware, when you read about Patrick Henry, give me liberty, why stand we here idle all the day long? They're already coming. When you read about the midnight ride of Paul Revere, when you wonder about Bunker Hill, when they were told don't fire until you see the white in their eyes, we need some of that today. But I'm not talking about to fight a war. I'm talking about to live for Jesus Christ. We get stirred up by military illustrations, and then we want to start a revolution. How about getting fired up by some people that were fighting for a cause lesser than your cause? Your cause is the cause of Jesus Christ and a world dying and going to hell. That's the fight we need to be involved in. But we're lazy in spirit. And we give in. And we quit. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, and Caleb stilled. Now this is everybody saying we can't go in, we can't take the land, they're too big. God said Caleb had a different spirit. Here it is, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Everybody else is fearful. Everybody else says, let's go back. Everybody else says, can't be done. Caleb says, let's take it. That's what we need. I've preached it before. I'll give it to you quickly. He had a calming spirit. Notice everybody else is stirred up and he stilled the people. By the way, the next time somebody comes up to you and wants to talk 30 minutes about some of this conspiracy stuff, why don't you just put a calming spirit over it and say, you know what, I've had enough of that. Getting me all worked up over something I can't do anything about and ain't doing me a bit of good at my house. Thank you. You stay stirred up over stuff you can't do anything about. Why don't you do something you can do something about? Be a good husband. Be a good father. Be a good church member. Be a good soul winner. Be a prayer warrior. Be a Bible student. Use your time for God. Be a Caleb. Have that calming spirit that when everybody else is sending bogus emails and caught up in politics and listening to talk radio and fretting over the economy and bashing the preacher, you be a calming spirit. I told them down there Thursday, I think I've told you this before, about the overwhelmed spirit, and somebody will come up to you because they're feeling sorry for themselves. They come up to you after church and say, did you notice when Brother Ron said that he was looking right at me? The answer to that is, I did notice that. And did you notice everybody else was looking at you too? Or you want to stir it? Yeah, I did notice that. He's done me that way before too. Brother Shannon, can I look you in the eye when I talk to you? Thank you. What do you want me to do? Look at the ceiling when I preach? You like to be seen anyway. So now you're whining because I was looking at you. That doesn't make any sense at all. The only reason you're whining is so you can be seen and heard. That's right. That's the only reason you're pouting. You want attention. And I gave you some. I'm your friend. He had a calming spirit. He stilled the people. He had a climbing spirit. He said, let us go up. Quit living in the valley. Quit living the mediocrity. Quit living this plain Christian life. Get engaged. Get involved. Get serious. And you'll be excited about being a child of God. The only reason you're bored is because you're not doing anything. He had a climbing spirit. He had a combative spirit. He said, let's go up at once. We ought to call every Baptist church, just about every Baptist church I know of, thinking about it, Baptist church. Praying about it, Baptist church. I love what Patton said. If everybody's thinking alike, somebody's not thinking. He said, the more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. He said, the object of war is not to die for your country, but make the enemy die for his. And he had a conquering spirit. This is Caleb. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Doesn't the Bible say you and I are more than conquerors? Doesn't the Bible say this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith? So why are we under instead of over? Why are we quitting instead of thriving? Patton also said, a good plan violently executed today is better than a perfect plan executed next week. His point was, quit putting it off. I was going to take you to another passage. I'm not going to do it. I'll close with this illustration. You know the story Joshua is told in chapter 1. I read it to you. Joshua chapter 1. Be strong. Be of a good spirit. Don't be discouraged. Be of good courage, he says. And then they got out there and they got whipped by Ai. Remember that story? God said, be of good courage. Be strong. Go in. Possess it. Told him that several times in chapter 1. And then, I think it's in chapter 7, Ai whipped them. And you come to chapter, I believe it's chapter 8, and Joshua's on his face whining. That's what he's doing. The Bible says he's praying. And God comes by and sees him praying and says, get up! That's what he tells him. And then you know what God does? He repeats what he told him in chapter 1. He repeats it. Because Joshua evidently didn't get it the first time. Okay, Joshua, you got whipped. Now get up and do what I told you to do. Be strong. Be of good courage. Losing does not have to be lasting. Failure does not have to be final. Joshua, do not accept defeat. Don't accept defeat. God's will is for you to be a victor, not a victim. God does not want you to be overcome by sin or sorrow or self or depression or bitterness or anger or a bad habit or spending, credit cards, eating, videos, movie, internet. God does not want those things to have victory over you. He wants you to have victory over them. And too many people have quit fighting. And just given in to it. The Bible says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Robert E. Lee said, I cannot trust a man to control others who cannot control himself. I love Douglas MacArthur's quote, we are not retreating, we are advancing in another direction. But one of my favorites is Chesty Puller. He was a lieutenant general in the Marines in World War II. He was suddenly surrounded on all sides by 10 Chinese divisions. And they looked at him frantically and said, what are we going to do? He said, they've got us right where we want them. We can fire in any direction. That's a good attitude. It sure beats pouting. Because mama spent 4 hours preparing that meal. And,
I don't like that.
Church, please hear me. I don't know how you're going to take this message. I'm going to tell you the purpose of the message. As we thought 2020 was bad, 2021 might be worse. I don't know. It might be the best year we've had in 30 years. I don't know. I just know trouble's coming your way, and it's coming my way. I just know with all these kids in this church, we're going to help determine what kind of kids they are when they're 14, 15, and 16. I know with all of the things that are going on in this church, if we're not strong in spirit, we're going to be just like all the rest of America, a bunch of whining, complaining babies. God help us to gird up our loins and get some fight. And say to God today, God, it's wrong, I ain't going to do it anymore. I'm done. It's right, I'm going to do just that. It's that simple. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.